In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, your fellow redeemed by the blood of Christ. It's hard for us in America to picture a king who has absolute power and authority. For we're supposed to be governed by a checks and balance system, meaning that no one branch of the government has absolute power and authority to do whatever they want to do. It's the way our government is designed to run. But it's not the way that many governments in the history of the world have been run. Instead, many governments are also often run, by a king or a dictator with absolute power and authority. Now, some of these kings and dictators are actually good, because they use their power and authority for the benefit of the people. But others, of course, are terrible because they use their power simply to serve themselves. But whether they're a good king or a bad king, many kings in the history of the world had have absolute power and authority, including King David. And I don't think we often think of King David having absolute power and authority to do everything he wanted to do. We picture him as that humble shepherd, or as the boy who defeated Goliath. We picture him as the one who showed love to all his enemies, especially to Saul and his family. We picture him as the man who sinned, repented, and was forgiven by God. But I don't think we often picture King David seated on his throne, doing whatever he wanted to do because he had absolute power and authority. But make no mistake about it, that's the power and authority that David had as king. King David could tell his chef to make whatever he wanted for dinner, and the chef would have to make it. And if David didn't like it, he could have fired the chef, or done even worse to him. And King David had the authority to gather up his troops and lead them into battle. There was no need for congressional approval, but if King David wanted to fight a war, his army would have to follow him into battle. King David had the authority to rule over his people. That's proven in his well-known sin with Bathsheba. He had no problem figuring out who Bathsheba was or getting her into the palace, right? And finally, King David had the power and authority to take a census of his people, to count all of his fighting men. After all, that's what he did in our text, right? Even though this census was not commanded by the Lord, even though in the parallel account from 1 Chronicles chapter 31, we actually read that Satan enticed King David to take this census, David decided to count all of his fighting men. And nobody could talk him out of it. Joab, one of his commanders, tried, right? But since David had absolute power, if he wanted to take a census, well, they were going to take a census. And maybe King David wanted to take this census because he was preparing for battle and wanted to know if the numbers were on his side. Or maybe King David took this census because he was full of pride and wanted to see how great he was because of how many people he ruled. But whatever the case was, King David took this census that was sinful, that was made with a wrong motivation, proven by the fact of how the Lord responded to it. For not only do we hear that Satan enticed King David to take this census, as I said in 1 Chronicles 31, but on top of that, did you catch David's reaction when the census was done? Immediately, he was full of guilt. He confessed his sin to the Lord, and the Lord forgave him because the Lord forgives all sin, but since this sin was such a public sin, the Lord said there was going to be some public repercussions for his sin. And so listen to what happened. The Lord came to the prophet Gad and said, the Lord said, go tell David, this is what the Lord says. I'm laying out three choices for you. Choose one of them for yourself, and I will carry it out against you. And so Gad went to David and told him about this. He said, shall 3 years of famine in your land come upon you? Or 3 months of fleeing with your enemies pursuing you? Or 3 days of plague in your land? Now consider this and decide what answer I should return to the one who sent me. And when King David heard these words, when he heard the choice that he had to make, I'm assuming at that time, King David recognized how powerless he really was. Even though he had absolute power as he ruled over the people, he could tell the person to do something and they had to do it. When the Lord said he had to choose between 3 years of famine, 3 months of being pursued by his enemies, or 3 days of plague, David had to realize how powerless he was. He couldn't do anything to stop this damage and destruction from coming upon his people. And when David chose the 3 days of plague, probably because it was the shortest time, then David really realized how powerless he was. For can you imagine King David standing on his balcony and seeing all of his people suffering? Can you imagine King David hearing all the cries of distress from those who were suffering and dying from the plague? Can you imagine King David hearing all the sounds of distress from those who were mourning their loved ones who had died from the plague? For our text says that 70,000 people died in just 3 days. 70,000! That's more than have died from COVID in our state of Missouri and all the surrounding states combined in a year and a half. 70,000. For as powerful as David was as king, he was powerless to stop this plague. His power had limitations. All earthly kings have limitations in their power. And that's why we've gathered here this evening to celebrate great David's greater son. Because you see, David's son, he would not have those limitations. David's son actually would have absolute power and authority to do anything, including to save his people from a plague. For who is great David's greater son? We're not talking about Solomon, but we are talking about Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, is great David's greater son. He's the one who had absolute power and authority. He's the one that can save his people from a plague. For remember why this plague hit Israel in the first place. It was because of David's sin. It was because David listened to Satan. Satan enticed David to take this census. And while the Lord forgave David because he forgives all sins, he sent this plague as repercussions to show the Lord's reaction to sin. For sin is never an oops moment. Sin is never a try harder next time. But sin angers God. And all sin, whether it was David's sin, or your sin, or my sin, the Lord is going to punish all sin. It's the promise that he makes proven by what he did in our text. Once again, this is why we are comforted by the fact that we're gathering here to celebrate great David's greater son. For David's son had the power that David did not have. David's son had the power to stop the plague. He had the power to stop the punishment for sin. In fact, that's the whole reason why great David's greater son was born into this world, born of his virgin mother. He was born into this world to stop the plague, to stop all punishment for sin. For did you catch how the plague eventually stopped? In verse 16, we read, the angel stretched out his hand toward Jerusalem to destroy it. But the Lord relented and did not bring the disaster. He said to the angel who was carrying out the destruction among the people, enough! Now hold back your hand. Notice the Lord relented. King David, and any other human being for that matter, could not have done one single thing to stop this plague. No matter what they tried, they were powerless against this plague. But the Lord relented. The Lord relented out of his great love and mercy for his people. The Lord relented and told the angel to stop, and that's exactly what the angel did. And then the Lord told David to go to the place where the angel stopped, the threshing floor of Arauna, and to offer a sacrifice there. And once David offered the sacrifice of burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, in the last verse of our text we read, the Lord heard the request for the land, and the plague was held back from Israel. That's how the plague stopped. And isn't that what great David's greater son does? For you see, there is nothing that you and I can do to stop the punishment for sin, to stop the plague from sin from swiftly coming upon us, just as it came upon those 70,000 people in our text. But my dear Christian friends, God relents. He relents based on his amazing love for you. He relents by sending his son into the world to be the son of David. He relents by punishing his son, by sending the plague upon his son instead of you. For you see, great David's greater son did not offer up animals as a sacrifice as David did on that threshing floor. Instead, great David's greater son offered himself. He is the sacrifice. He is the one who paid the punishment, who suffered the plague that we deserve. And that's amazing. For as this plague was running throughout Israel, you can imagine King David wishing that he would suffer instead of his people. After all, he was the one who sinned. But there was nothing King David could do. He couldn't suffer on behalf of his people. But his greater son, Jesus, that's exactly what he did. He suffered on behalf of his people, and he didn't just suffer for 70,000 people. He suffered for the entire world, meaning anyone who believes in Jesus, regardless of their sex or race or the country they live in. Anyone who believes in Jesus will be spared from the punishment of sin, will be spared from the plague of sin, and will live eternally with God in heaven. Isn't it amazing the power that great David's greater son has, the power to stop a plague? And so, my dear Christian friends, during these Advent services, we're going to hear a lot about King David. And that's good. For in the Old Testament, nobody has more written about them outside of Moses than King David. But as we look at King David, let's recognize why we are focusing on the stories. It's not because David is so great or powerful, but it's all because David is a picture of what his greater son would do, a foreshadowing of the power his greater son would have. And so during these Advent services, may our focus be on great David's greater son, Jesus Christ, who was born from the line of David of his virgin mother. For when our focus is on great David's greater son, then we rejoice and are comforted. Rejoice and are comforted at the power he possesses, especially the power to save us from the plague. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise as we sing the Song of Mary, as is printed in the bulletin.